I want to use for a few minutes. I tell you from time to time that my favorite book in the Word of the Lord is the writings of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. I used to think that that was the old preacher writing to the young preacher, and I saw myself as the young preacher at that time. Now then I see myself as the old preacher who maybe could give a little advice to the younger preachers, but I never could give the advice that the Apostle Paul gave to the young preacher Timothy. But my very favorite scripture out of the Word of the Lord is one that's always a challenge for me and always difficult for me because I find myself not being able to carry it out as I would like to. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And what measure you mete, it shall be measured back unto you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now that's a good scripture. It's a good admonition, but let me just guarantee you this morning it's not always easy to follow. I'm as guilty as anyone of passing judgment upon the other individual, and most of the time I find out that whenever I've passed my judgment, that all it does is get me in trouble, because first of all, I'm not to be the judge. Second, I probably would not want to be judged with as harsh a judgment as I'm tend to mete out to someone else. And the Bible very clearly teaches that whenever that I do that, that I need to expect in return that I'll receive the same type of judgment. And I'd like to think that maybe you'd be a little easier on me than what probably I'm deserving of most of the time. It's easy for us to find the fault in the other individual, but sometimes it's very difficult to be able to look and see our own. I was thinking this morning as I again was going over some of this as to how easy it is for us to categorize sin. We all know what the big sins are. We all know what the important sins are. We know all what all of the wrong sins are and the right sins are. And I can tell you right now, the big sins are yours. The little sins are mine. And that's the way we think. Yeah, we like to think, oh, you're the one that's doing the big, you've committed the big sin, but mine are just little. It's kind of like the big lie, the black lie versus the little white lie. Well, I want to tell you something. According to the Word of the Lord, sin is sin in His eyes. There are no big sins. There are no little sins. There are no white lies. There are no black lies. Sin is sin. Lies a lie in the eyes of the Lord. And we need to understand that sometimes. We also need to recognize that every single one of us are sinners. Every single one of us have some faults. I've not yet met outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've not seen Him in person, but I like some of the songs that they sing. I do know Him. I have met Him. I know who He is in my heart and in my life. But I want you to know that many times we as one of God's children have a tendency to think that the other person is the one who's doing the wrong, and it's easy for us to see their wrongs, but it's difficult for us to see our own. I want you to see what the Word of the Lord says, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Rome. And he was talking to them about how that we do have a different perception of what is right and what is wrong, what is sin and what is not sin. And we are different. We're all sinners. None of us are perfect. That's what I started to say a minute ago and got myself sidetracked there on my thought. But there are none of us who are perfect. The only perfect part about us is that part which the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed. And when he redeemed it, he sealed it so that we don't have access to it and we don't have to worry about it. There is a certain part of me that is just not within my control. There's a lot of me that does still come under my control, and I have the opportunity to do that which is right. I still have the opportunity as one of God's children to do that which is wrong. And I will guarantee you this morning that when I do right, God has never failed to bless. But when I do wrong, he has never failed to pay or to punish, and I pay the price. Now, I recognize there are a lot of our people, a lot of our preachers today who just are preaching and teaching, oh, you just kind of go out here and do whatever you want to, and then just say, Lord, I'm sorry, and Lord, forgive me, and he just blots it all out. I don't find that in the Word of the Lord. I don't find that at all. I've always found where God teaches in his Word that sin always has a price to be paid. And you and I as his children many times are going to pay the price. We're going to suffer the consequences of our sin. The only time that I'm going to suffer is down here. When I get over to heaven, I'm not going to get up there and the Lord beat me around for anything that I've done down here. That would be contrary to what heaven would be like. And so I'm as convinced as surely as I stand before you this morning that any punishment of sin will be as I walk here upon the face of the earth. Has he forgiven me? Yeah, he forgave me for the sin of unbelief. He forgave me for that time in my heart and my life whenever that I rejected him and I denied him and I turned him away. But he gave me enough of his love, enough of his faith to lead me to the foot of the cross to where he could redeem my soul and seal my soul for eternity, to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's all been taken care of. Don't have to worry about that. What I do have to be concerned about is as I pass judgment upon my fellow man, that I'm going to be judged according to the judgment that I mete out, and that I need to be careful whenever I begin to try to find the fault in the other individual, and whenever I begin to try to straighten their lives out. When I first started preaching, I had a couple of preacher friends that usually I'd see them on Monday morning after I'd been preaching on Sunday somewhere, and they'd say, "Well, preacher, did you skin them yesterday?" And I thought, "Good Lord." I said, "You know, well, I never skinned anyone in my life. And if I was to try to, I will guarantee you this one thing, it'd be the awfulest mess. And all it would do, Ron, it'd just be to make you mad. You know, if I was just to get up here and say, you know what, I'm just going to skin this congregation this morning. I'm going to get them straightened out. Well, then I'd just make the biggest mess of it you can possibly imagine, because I don't have that ability to do it. But I tell you what I do know. I do know that whenever that I'll preach the word of the Lord and it'll go forth accompanied by the Spirit, that the Lord, if any skinning needs to be done, he can do it. I'll guarantee you that by his word. He can do it, and he'll do it in your heart. He'll do it in your life, and I'll never know about it. I don't need to know about it. That's not my job. My job is to preach you the word. What thus saith the Lord God? God takes care of all the rest of it then. That's what I tell people, Brother Timothy, from time to time. I see a miracle every time I stand up here and have the opportunity to preach the word, that God takes his word and applies it to every heart that's here in the way that he needs and they need it in their heart and their life. He doesn't leave that to me. Now, let me tell you what the Apostle Paul said. Paul said, "But why dost thou judge thy brother?" Why do you judge your brother? You know, he asked the people in the church of Rome, why do you do that? "Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Now just keep that in mind. You can just worry all you want to about whether or not we could be passing judgment on the other individual. Not my job, not my responsibility, not yours. We'll just look at our own lives, examine our own lives. Remember what Jesus said whenever he spoke of those who were trying to cast the beam out of the brother's eye and didn't, or the mote out of the brother's eye and didn't consider the beam that was in their own eye. He said, "Thou hypocrite." You know, there are a lot of times that there are a lot of hypocrites. People used to always say, "Oh, there are a lot of hypocrites in the church." I wouldn't deny that. I wouldn't deny that. That's the only place that probably there are any people that are called hypocrites. Most people out here, they're not trying to be something they're not. They just don't give a hoot what you think about them. The world is lost. They're not concerned about that. It's you and I as God's children who are concerned, and we are the ones who should be living as a child of God, not pretending to be. Thou hypocrite. First, you know, God always does things in order. If you've studied the Word of the Lord, you'll find that God's Word is always consistent. It never contradicts itself, and it never runs ahead of itself. He'll have things done decently and in order. And we need to understand it. He said, first you do this. Take care of yourself. I'll tell you what. I've got a full-time job taking care of Kent Parson. I don't have to worry too much about what you're doing in your life or what you're not doing in your life, because one of these days I'm going to stand before the great I Am and give an account for what I have done and what I have failed to do as I live here upon the face of the earth. I'm not going to account for any one of you, not going to answer for any one of you, but I will answer for myself. Paul said to them, why dost thou judge thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Every knee shall bow to me. Yeah, there's going to come a time. I'm thankful that early on in my life that I bowed before Him and I came to the foot of the cross. I recognized the sinner that I was, and that He granted me the privilege of becoming one of His children. I tell you quite often that when I read this where it says every one of us shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not sure that I won't fall there in that great, powerful presence of His and be humbled as I've never been humbled before because of His goodness, of His greatness. But I will answer unto Him. And He says here in His Word, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Yeah. We spend too much time worrying about the other person. We as a church spend too much time worrying about what some other church is going to think about us. Whether they're going to like us, whether we're going to adhere to what they believe, what they don't believe. We spend too much time worrying about that and not worrying enough about what we're doing here at Elkin Baptist Church. That's what we need to be concerned about, not what everybody else is or is not doing. So every one of us shall give an account. Now he said this, let us now not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now I beat the clock by about 4 minutes, but that's my message this morning. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. What measure you meet, it shall be measured back unto you again. Let's remember, it's going to come back to us again. So whenever that we get to that point to where that we've got our nose in somebody else's business when we shouldn't have it there, we need to remember there's probably somebody trying to get their nose into our business and they have no business being in there. There are a few things about my life that's nobody else's business. There are not many things, because you all are probably as much right to know anything about me as there is. But there are a few things you don't know about me, and you never will if I have my way. There are a few things about you that I will never know about you, and I will guarantee you this morning that's all right. There are probably some things I shouldn't know about you.